Welcome back. It seems like I'm already bringing like people from like my secondary school onto my podcast because I feel like I'm running out of guests. I'm not running out of guests, but like I'm running out of guests, you know. So if you know somebody that wants to be on the podcast, let me know. I'm here with my namesake from secondary school. So you already know her name is Stephanie. I feel rude for introducing her, but like I'm going to give her the microphone soon to have a word or two. She's clearing her throat. Yeah, you're killing me. But hi, let everybody know who you are.
Hi everyone, my name is Igudalo Stephanie.
Is that all?
Yeah, basically
that's all that there is in the world to Igudalo Stephanie. Like,
okay, my name is Igudalo Stephanie. I'm a data analyst. Well, still searching for a job, but yeah, that's what I do. I graduated from Babcock University, and yeah.
You guys, Stephanie and I went to the same... It feels weird calling another person my name. Like, it feels so weird. And I should be used to that because Stephanie is, like, a very common name. But, like, Stephanie and I went to the same secondary school, a little Apostle Secondary School, which was very traumatic. You were a brother, right?
Yes, from SS1.
How was that like?
Wasn't so bad, actually, because it was new. So they're still treating us like princesses and doing all them... normal things that these students wouldn't like get.
I feel like I wouldn't have, if I feel like, not to mention names, but you know who I'm about to see at the admission. I just feel like she wouldn't have let me be a brother. I just feel like, what do you think?
It's not about her letting you. You will get kicked out. She will kick you out like the moment you enter. And I don't even think you'll be able to survive. You'll probably leave yourself. You just go.
Yeah, true that. Stephanie, how would you describe yourself in like 3 words or a sentence? I know this is a very awkward question, but like I like to ask it so that people would know what to expect from you, like when they're listening to your episode. So how would you describe regular Stephanie Igudalo?
I like to say I'm smart, very street smart, but like book wise maybe I'm smart, yes. Also beauty, I'm very pretty. Then I feel like I'm a very honest person. Like, I hardly have any reason to lie. Yes.
My guy said I'm very beautiful. Please, you're so vain. That was so vain. I'm very pretty. Yes. And you know, you need to see the way she did her face. But like, everybody that comes on this podcast is always saying I'm smart. Like, also, I want somebody to come here and say, oh my God, I'm not very smart. I'm a dumb person. Like, why do you think people don't say that they are very dumb?
Well, nobody would want to admit that they don't know anything now. Like, you can't sell yourself that way.
All right. So, you're smart, you're pretty, and you said something else. I didn't catch that. Oh, you're very honest. So, I'm expecting this podcast to be very honest, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
All right. So, we'll go on a little break, and we'll be back to be very honest about everything. Honesty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I'm just going to make this quick, short, and easy. Stop, you know? Go to my social media right now. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever it is. At Mbachi Stephanie. MBACHUSTEPHANIE. Follow me right now. Follow me everywhere you find me. Just search for my name, Mbachi Stephanie, and follow me real quick. Then on my bio, you'll probably see a link. Click on that link. Engage my short story. Engage my newsletter. Engage everything that I put out there. Engage my articles right now. Do it right now. Please, do it right now, real quick. Thank you. Love you. Enjoy the episode. Like, Stephanie is like the second person that's suggesting a topic, a conversation for me. Like, every time I was telling one of my acquaintances, my baby Karen, because she suggested a conversation for us to have on the podcast, and I was like, oh, people usually never tell me like what to do. Like, I always come up like with the content. So I was very glad I reached out to Stephanie. I was like, oh, Stephanie, would you like to be on my podcast? She's like, yeah. I was like, oh, what do you feel comfortable talking about? Because I like to, so when I want to have a guest, I like to ask them what they feel comfortable about talking about. Of course, it's like my podcast, but you have to make sure that they are comfortable to an extent. So I asked Stephanie, I was like, oh, what do you like us to talk about? She was like, oh, we can do purpose. And I was like, oh, that's a very deep conversation. And I was also telling Stephanie, like, I feel like my podcast is too serious. Like, I'm trying to have fun. I'm trying to play once in a while, because like I feel like if you come to my podcast, like, it's not the same recycled conversations. Like, I talk about something different every day. Shout out to God for such a talent that he had bestowed on me when I was born. But today we're doing like purpose. So like, Stephanie, what is purpose to you? Like, that's like a very random general question.
I feel like purpose to me is like what I was born to do, like the reason why I was born or the reason why I exist.
Okay, it's the way we're exchanging the mic. So I usually hold the mic and I give it to you, but that's fine. That's fine. The first question, the second question I have for you, how do we stage our lives from a very young age? Because obviously, like, everybody has a purpose in life. You know, when we go to church, you know, our pastors or our reverend fathers or whatnot, they keep on telling us that you're kept on the earth to fulfill a purpose. But like, from their own point of view, it's always a religion or a religious like way, like, oh, preach the word of God, like, let people understand like the entire point of like Christianity and whatnot. But like, how do we stage our lives from a very young age to see like our future, like our purpose?
When you say young, like, how young do you mean?
Like, people decide, okay, so okay, when we were children, everybody wanted to be a doctor when they were a child. I wanted to be a doctor at like 6 because I just feel like, imagine saving lives. Then like, I feel like when you get into secondary school, you start to say, oh, I would like to do science. You don't know exactly what it is, but you're like, oh, I would like to do science. Maybe when you're 9, I like to do science, or I like to do art, or I like to do commercial at a very young age. But like, where do you, so let's pinpoint it. So at 10, what do you think runs through like the mind of a 10-year-old and like their future, if that's a good question?
Okay, for like a 10-year-old, I feel it starts with our parents. They need to be observant enough to know like what we already like from small and how they would support us, because most parents just push you to do what they want you to do, especially at that age when you don't know what you want to do. So they start like selling that to you, telling you, oh, this person, if you're a lawyer, this and that, if you're a doctor, you get, so you start buying it yourself. You be, ah, yes, I want to be a doctor, I want to treat people, when time mom is sick, I'll be able to treat her. But then as you grow, plus the fact that, because I know everyone wanted to be a doctor, but when it came to like going to science, art, commercial, that's when everyone knew their strengths. You have to know your strengths as well, because if you don't know your strengths, you can't be pushing for what won't happen. So you have to know your strength. When you know your strength, then you can now start saying, okay, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, I think this would actually work for me. Even though sometimes it might not work, because finding your purpose, I think it takes a lot of time. But at a young age, there's going to be a lot of trial and error. It's just that you need to be ready and willing to like keep pushing or keep doing what you actually like or love. So yeah, I feel that's it.
Yeah, the podcast is getting too serious. I want to laugh a bit. I want to laugh again. First of all, fuck secondary school teachers. Because, like, if you guys remember, in secondary school, like, after GS3, they would be like, oh, this person is intelligent, go to science class. This person is dumb, go to arts class. So, arts class was the class for, like, unserious kids. People that used to drum in the assembly ground. Eh? Oh, yeah,
no,
argue.
No, I don't agree with you on that. If you remember, we did, like, an aptitude test. And some people listen to like what the aptitude tests had to say about like your personality, how you are. Like for me now, my aptitude test was 50-50. I had passion in like the social class, that's art class, but I had the brain for science class.
What do you mean you had the brain? That's what I'm talking about, like, because they always say you have
that's what my aptitude test said. It said 50-50, and the first 50 was the social part. Like, I had interests, and that's what I said, interest in, like, the social part, because I like to dance and all that. But, like, based on, like, the mathematics that we did, the verbal reasoning and everything, they were like, okay, the other 50 is for science. So I now had to choose, like, oh, where do I want to go to?
Yeah, but fuck teachers, because, like, they actually made art students feel very dumb, and science students feel like, oh, we're the Einsteins of the community. But just to cut short from purpose, in OLAS, because I went to OLAS, it's not news, Stephanie and I used to run, we used to dance. Like, do you think you were the it girl in secondary school?
Not really. I don't know. I wasn't. I actually was very shy, but I just always wanted to do different things. So I just felt like I could do anything I wanted. I didn't really care, to be honest. I think we had the It girls, and you know them.
Where are the It girls now? But no, for real. Like, I feel like even if I wasn't an It girl or I wasn't the It girl in school, I still feel like I was an It girl because, like, there was no segment in school that I wasn't in. Like, I participated in everything. And that's what I, like, because I was also telling Stephanie before we recorded that I want to, before I leave this world, I want to have participated in a lot of things in the world. So I feel like I was an It girl because, like, I was talented enough to want to dance. I was talented enough to run, to be a very fast, you know, sprinter. I was into everything. It was just like, in secondary school, I was pretty dumb. I don't know how my result is the way it is now. But, like, in secondary school, I don't think I took life seriously in secondary school. And I feel like that's even what made, like, them hate me more. Because if you know me, you know that my secondary school story, I can't even, if I start, I don't think I'll finish. But, yeah. Back to purpose. Do you have anything to say before we move back?
No.
Okay, so back to purpose. What are the tips to navigating around, like, finding your purpose in life? I feel like that's a deep question, right? Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I think number one is having the passion and interest. You need to know what actually moves you. Something that won't feel like a struggle. Because there are some people that like a particular thing, but when they start doing it, it becomes stressful, or they feel like, I don't think I can do it. But, like, when somebody is enjoying what they're doing, that's a good sign that, okay, I think this is what I'm actually meant to be doing. I actually enjoy this. It doesn't feel like stress to me. Like me now, I can't create content. Like, what's that? I'll be carrying ring light and the rest and trying to film video. Like, it's a lot of stress, but some people enjoy it. Like, it's nothing to them. It's like having fun. But then they're making money from it, and they're, like, actually doing things with it. So I think that should be number one. Then, what else? Well, I feel like other things could be like, finding.
Quick question. What did you want to be like when you were younger?
A doctor.
At what point in life did you realize that was not possible?
When I entered science class. Because I don't like reading. I like, anytime I try to read, most times if I carry a book, I just want to sleep. So, but later on, I found out that sleeping first and waking up helps me read. But, like, usually, I don't even think I used to read at all. I just had to manage to, like, pass because I hate reading. And I know doctors have to read. They learn every day. They don't stop learning at all. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. I think I had a lot of career conflicts. Because, like, my ideology, like, I keep saying it, I feel like there's nothing in this world I cannot do. As long as I put my mind to it, and it takes practice to be perfect. When I was younger, I remember I wanted to be a doctor, but I think that dream stopped at 6. Because I just feel like everybody wanted to be doctors, you know. Then, like, when I became, like, a teenager, I wanted to really be a pilot. I wanted to work with Emirates. I still want to work with Emirates, but, like, as a contract, not, like, as a air hostess or, like, a pilot. But I just want to have, like, some sort of contract with them. And I also remember I wanted to be an air hostess because my mom used to travel a lot. And my mom was like, no, she doesn't like that job. That she just feels like it's, like, you know how parents are now. Like, they feel like air hostess are just everywhere to an extent. I remember I just wanted to walk around, like, the aeroplane to an extent, you know. Then I feel, after secondary school, you know, I got into university. I still lost. I feel like my direction wasn't straight at a point because I was just like, you know, I was studying English, you know. I was just like, oh, English, I can do anything. But I think in year 2 or year 3, I was just like, I feel like this art thing suits me. But a lot of people did not tap into that because people saw me as a nerd. Like, you know, in secondary school, I was very chaotic. But in university, like, a lot of people outside my university saw me as a nerd. They just saw me as this girl that will probably end up being a reverend sister. I don't know. I feel like people used to use that as a, like, an insult, like, oh, this girl, holy. I don't know why people feel like if you want to devote your life to, like, Christianity, they tag you as a nerd, they tag you as a weird person. This generation, we have a lot to change, we have a lot to correct. But I realized that the entire industry thing kind of suits me. But, like, now that I'm one, because I feel like at this point I'm 1 foot in, I'm not all the way in yet. I'm trying to get there by His grace. I just feel like now it's just like, damn. Because if you look at the industry now, a lot of nonsense is happening in the industry, and it's like it takes a lot. Like, it's one thing for you to do something that you enjoy doing, because, like, you know, content creators, some, most of them enjoy doing it and you're getting large money from it, which is very good. But it's like, if you look at all the nonsense that goes on, like, behind closed doors, like things that people make you do, like the popularity that comes with it might be good, but like you have popularity, you have the money, you get free shit, but you never get freedom. That's the thing about, like, being, like, in the industry. But not to divert, like... What do you mean by that?
Like, I don't think everyone has that experience. It depends on how you carry yourself and how you put yourself out there. Because you wouldn't let people do things like that to you if you don't want to. If you succumb to it, that's you. But I feel like there are some people out there that are actually doing things in the industry that they don't have to, like, succumb to all those agreements or things like that.
Yeah, but it's hard. It's hard to make it in the industry. In Nigeria, everything is hard in Nigeria. Like, if you don't have, like, if you don't have somebody that knows somebody that will put you, your name on the map, you don't think so?
I feel like that's another place where talent comes in. If you have the talent, there's no how, you're just going to shine. And one way or the other, you would find your purpose, and you would meet, your purpose would come meet yourself. Because if you, it's, I feel like it's people that don't have the talent or are too scared to actually push or wait that actually go into all those things. Because if you actually know what you're doing and you're patient enough to continue and wait for your turn, because everything is turn, especially in this industry, you just see how some people just start one thing 1 week and the next thing they just blow, like just one thing. Meanwhile, there's some people that have been in the industry for years struggling, trying to keep pushing. Sometimes it might be a sign that it's not for you, but sometimes it's also God testing you that, okay, be patient, your time is coming. And it happens like that for some people. Some people it doesn't,
bro. Sometimes, like, and this is why a lot of people kind of want to question God. Like, you know, when you're asking God for something and he's like, I remember one of my friends tweeting that nobody is like God, which I scolded him for, because I was just like, why would you tweet something like that? Like, when you've waited so long for something and it doesn't just come through, you're just like, you start questioning God. But anyways, so, like, you know, I already gave, like, a direction, like, of, like, my career path, and I just, you know, figured out that the industry was for me. What was it like for you? Because you started out wanting to be a doctor. Where are you now? So, like, give me, like, a timeline of, like, your career changes. Oh, I didn't even mention, I wanted to also do law. Like, because when my father was alive, he wanted all of us to study law, have a degree in law, and then do what we want to do. I don't know what his obsession was with all of us being lawyers. Like, he wanted all his kids to be lawyers before anything else, which is very crazy. I wouldn't say weird, which is very crazy. What about you?
Okay, so apart from the fact that I wanted to be a doctor, because literally everyone wanted to be a doctor at some point, that was in secondary school, you know, I started dancing, like, just one. Then,
yeah, we used to dance. We used to, you people don't understand. Stephanie and I, we used to dance. It was Stephanie, myself. Who else used to dance with us?
We're the only juniors, everyone else were like seniors.
Guy, we were the it girls. What do you mean? What do you actually mean that we're not the it girls? Same and I used to dance. We used to run. I don't think there's no school we didn't go to in secondary school. I remember that Gregory, St. Gregory, that everybody wanted to go to Greg's. That it would only take me, you, and some other people, and Justina.
Yeah.
Bro, like, we were so talented. Anyway, sorry for cutting you short.
So, yeah, then I started taking more interest in dance. But, my family did not want to hear dance, so anything dance, like, okay, just finish school first and everything. Even when I entered hostel, they didn't even let me go for dance practice again till after exams. So that's why I always had to, like, wait till after exams to join in and, like, try to catch up for the whole presentation and everything. So I kept doing after school. Okay, now secondary school finished, I wanted to study dance science. I even went to go and, don't worry.
Is this Nigeria?
No, obviously. Not in Nigeria.
No, as a Nigerian, you want to be a dancer?
Yes, no. I actually wanted to do it professionally. But then the thing about dance science is that you can also be a physiotherapist. So that was another place where the whole physiotherapy thing came came up for me. Then I spoke to my family about it. They're like, once they saw dance, they didn't even bother to hear whether you can be something else from it. They just knew that this one, a dance you won't go do. And they're like, nah, that just do something else. You can always do dance in your free time, but why would you pay money to go and study how to dance and be moving and all that kind of thing? So I just put my mind off. Then, as you can have it now, Nigerian university problem. To enter school, issue, you write JAMA many times. So I did JAM the first year. I didn't get in for physiotherapy, so I had to wait the next year. And when the next year came, I couldn't do the course I wanted to do because I was going to a private uni and they didn't have that course there. I literally just picked my course based on a past computer.
Based on vibes.
Like, I just saw my work results. I'm like, ah, this computer no go bad. Let me do computer science. It's not computer.
Same. I swear I did that. Because I felt like mass communication was my thing. But, like, the school that I was going to, they didn't have mass communication at the time. I was just like, oh, English. I could do English. And English is, like, a very vast subject. Like, you can work anywhere with, like, an English degree.
Sure, sure. So, that's how I ended up doing computer science. Then, it was, like, my final year. Or 300 level rather, when I started my final year project, that's when I got into like data, knowing about big data, data analytics, because I did a project on data mining, and that's how I got here.
So you want to remain here?
Yes, actually, it's very interesting. It's just really cool how you can like do a lot with information, like having data, how you can churn out data and actually use it to like find out or predict future comments or something that can happen later on or what might happen.
So like your data analyst, yeah, that's what data analyst, yeah,
yeah.
So like, do you guys, can you work for the CIA? You can work anywhere, yeah,
anywhere.
So you have to collect information on people.
Yeah, so far there's data every day. There's data. We're producing data right now.
What the fuck?
So yeah,
the internet is a very scary place. Very scary. So like, wow, you can actually work anyway, and that's a very, I like that. Like, if I'm ever gonna come again as a child, I would want to do something where like people need me, like where it's not going to be very hard for me to fit in anywhere, in a bank, in an office, in a school, in the secret agencies. Like, data analysis is something that everybody needs. Like, it's a compulsory, you know, conversation for people to have. That's not the right terminology, but I feel like my listeners understand what I'm trying to say. So what were the obstacles that you kind of faced like on getting to this journey? Like, of course, family is a huge obstacle, but like, what are like other obstacles that, you know, for you on getting to like where you are?
So I feel not having a mentor can really slow you down and can cause confusion because you really don't know where to start, how to start, what you need to start. But we thank God for the internet too. If you at least know how to Google or you know how to use some basic social media sites, you can at least find someone or find somewhere. But right now, I'm actually on a Discord group called the Data Tech Space. So there are lots of like informations there on like if you want to learn about different things or how you can start as a data analyst or the languages or the things you need to know or tools that you use for your data analysis. So everything's there, and people even drop like opportunities, jobs, like a whole lot. So yeah, as everywhere is like, as the whole world is evolving, it's becoming easier to get a mentor or to even know how to like go into all these things, and you'd be able to find your way.
True. So would you say like are you a private person first of all?
Yes, I am. I believe so.
Are you private because of like your choice of career?
No, I don't think so.
Has it influenced you in any way? Because like, you know, like I said, like data analysis, you know, they pick into like every little information that you put online, because the information you're putting online can be a risk for you or very helpful. So you know, sometimes I feel like your career path is kind of scary because like people can find anything about you on the internet. So I'm asking if your career path has made your choice of being private like a thing.
So I think the word is not being private. I don't know how to put it, but maybe being out there, being a private person. Some people just like to keep things to themselves. But I know of data analysts that are out there. They're like leading different groups on Twitter, on Instagram, and everything. So they're churning out things online, but then they're not putting out their private things there. You get what I mean? Like, you don't know other informations except from everything tech that you need to know about. So you know that, okay, this person is into tech, this person does this, this person does that, but you definitely don't know like other things that are going on in their lives. So I feel like that's me being private. Like, I can be out there churning out things that I need people to know. Doesn't mean I'm not private about my life, or I'm not private about other things.
True. I'm very private, but I'm not private on Snapchat. I feel like my Snapchat is where everything goes down. I talk a lot on my private story on Snapchat. Yeah. I actually talk a lot. I'm always talking about something, which is so weird, because like on my private story, I'm a menace to society. But on Instagram and Twitter and every other thing, people, I actually don't open my mouth. But that private, that's not that. I mean, that's why I always delete it, because I feel like I say too much of, you know, things that are going on in my life. But like, yeah, like I wouldn't say like data analyst. Yeah, I'm not saying there are people who are too open. Snapchat influencers piss me off, because it's like they put their entire life out there, like, oh, where they're gymming today, or where they're eating at 12 a.m. and all those random things, not knowing that they can actually get kidnapped. Can we talk about kidnappers for a minute?
But I feel like that's what they're meant to do. They literally update you on everything, and that's how they gain followers. Like, people want to know what's happening in your life, even people that don't even know you. So far, like, you have some kind of name or you have some kind of following, people are interested. Some people literally miss me today and they'll be like, I want to be your friend. Like, they want to see how far you go, or what's happening in your life. Like, what does this girl do on a normal day, or what's her work life like? Do you get? So I feel like it's not a bad thing, but sometimes it should be limited. There should be boundaries. That's the word. Like, some of them don't have boundaries. Like, they literally just put everything out there. Like, we don't need to know these things. But yeah, on the case of kidnappers, Well, I don't know about other countries, but Nigeria, you have to be careful, because you don't even know who is who. And people are hungry. People are hungry. So some of them might be watching for the sake of, or wanting to know, like, what you're about or what you do. But every other person or some other people have, like, ill feelings about what you do. And some people would want to kidnap you or just do something to embarrass you. So sometimes it's not really that good. And that's why I respect people that they do what they need to do. Then probably when they've left, that's when they'll be posting that, okay, I was at this place. So if you like, go there, you will not find me. So yeah, so it depends on whoever is like putting out anything there. If you're smart enough, you know how you work your way. Because obviously you can't be at a place and immediately you're posting. Definitely people will meet you there, especially if you're going to be there for a long time.
So weird. It's so weird why people do that. Like, it's so weird for you to constantly update people. Like, and you will know that when somebody's at a particular place, because like you can see them getting there, you can see them ordering like a drink, you can see them after like maybe 30 minutes you now see a food, you now see them with their friends. Like, it's like you don't need to do that. Like, there's no point for you to do that. You can get home, rest, remove your clothes first, have a bath, and then you now post like the things that you feel like your feed should, you know, enjoy. It's so creepy. And I want to say something, because I know when I said I post a lot on my Snapchat stories, Stephanie was nodding in agreement. Fuck you for that. Fuck you for knocking. Sorry, fuck you for nodding. I'm always that's the thing. I'm always lamenting, but I am an extremely I don't know why I'm speaking like this, but I'm an extremely private person in real life. My friends actually complain about me being extremely secretive, but I feel like I'm not, because every time I open Snapchat, I'm always lamenting about something. But in real life, like, people don't know what I'm up to. People don't, you can, my friends have never tried to surprise me, because you might try to surprise me now, I'm not in the country. That's how bad it is. I remember I was talking to one of my friends and she wanted to come over. I said, my sister, I'm not in Lagos. That's how bad it is. I don't tell people stuff, but I feel like I talk a lot. Okay, I talk a lot on my Snapchat, but it's about, I always rant about something that's going, if something is trending on Twitter, I go on my Snapchat to rant about it. You will never see me rant about it on the internet because I just feel like not a lot of people need to know. Do you understand? People don't need to know what's going on about you. Like, you shouldn't be a source, your life shouldn't be a source of other people's entertainment. It's different when, like, you're doing a show for the basic need of entertaining other people, but like exposing your life, like there are people who will come on the internet and tell us how their husband cheated on them. Like, that's too much. Can we all stop? Can we all behave ourselves? Can we all act like grown-ups? It's way too much. There's this saying that my acquaintance, she says, and I want to get your opinion on it. You know her, because she went to Holy Child. She says, I remember she moved to the UK. She moved to America like 3-4 years ago, and she didn't tell anybody. Maybe she only told like very close people to her. Obviously, I'm not very close to her. And I remember there's this saying that she said to me that has stuck with me. She was like, just because, I remember we're having a long conversation. I was like, oh, okay. Okay, so the reason why we had that conversation was her mom moved to the US. You know, people's parents are moving because Nigeria is a very hard place for people to live in. Our mom moved. I was like, oh, why have you not moved yet? She was like, just because my mom's clock was on 7 a.m. doesn't mean that my 1 a.m. will not get to that 7 a.m. And that's a deep thing for somebody to say. Like, the way she said it has always stuck in my head, because it's like, it's very real. Like, because it's just real to me. Like, what do you think about like that quote? What do you think about what she said?
Exactly, it's just like what I said. Like, when it's your time, it's your time. Like, her mom's time was then, and she needed to move at that point. She knew that her time would definitely get to that point, but it wasn't just there at the moment. So yes, I can relate to like how she felt that time or what she was thinking.
What if your time never comes?
It will come. It will come in Jesus' name.
Because people always say, like, sometimes you need to realize when to stop. Like, what if this thing is not for you? What if you are not born to make it in life? What if?
I don't think nobody's born to make it in life. The only people that won't make it in life is people that don't try. I feel like if you try, there's no how you want to work. When I'm about to do something, I always tell God, it's not like I'm not doing anything. I'm working for this thing, sir. I just need small push.
My guy said, sir. You didn't call God, sir.
Daddy, I'm working for this thing. Please, just help me. Small. Just small. I've done the best I can. Like, it's in your hands. Like, just do this thing for me. There's no how you work and it will not work out for you. If you don't do anything, that is when it will not work out. You just have to do something. You have to do something, even if it's very little.
Well, people always say that the rich are supposed to become richer and the poor poorer. And, like, the society is not balanced when everybody is rich. Like, people have to remain where they are for other people to progress in life. That's why I was saying, what if, like, your destiny is to be poor? What if? Yes. Not yours, our enemy. Not even our enemy. Somebody that we don't know.
Your destiny is going to be poor if you say your destiny will be poor. Everything is still on your mindset. Like, now, somebody would hear this now and say, some people are actually meant to remain poor and some people are going to be rich. And somebody will listen to them and be like, okay, maybe I'm part of people that will be poor. But if you say to yourself, I'm the one that will be rich, don't worry. I don't have any business with the poor people. I want to be part of the rich people. You will be part. It's mindset. It's just mindset and opportunity.
So, like, how would you... I think we've covered school, we've covered career. How would you regulate, like, marriage and, like, family? Like, what do these things, like, mean to you in terms of, like, your purpose? So, what's your purpose with building a family or getting married? It's like, is that somewhere in, like... your future? Is that somewhere in Stephanie Godalo's future?
Yes, but I won't lie, at some point I never wanted to get married. I just wanted to have kids and like stay on my own, because sometimes when you hear stories or you see what's happening out there, you just be like, is it not better for me to just stay on my own? But then you can't just zero out things based on what other people experience. So I think I still want to experience the whole family thing, have children, have a husband and all that. But I think marriage is like a whole I don't know, experience on its own. That's like another thing on its own. Nobody really knows how to navigate that thing, but it's a thing.
Guy, do you know people always say this, and I'm always very confused. You understand? You don't have to marry like your baby daddy, but like, how is marriage bigger than being a mother? People always say it, and it pisses me off because like, marriage to me, this is me, oh, you guys know this is my podcast, so it's my opinion. I feel like marriage is smaller than being a mom. Being a mom to me is a whole different ball game. But you see, marriage, I can't even do marriage. But you see, that motherhood is crazy. So why would you say, because you sounded like marriage was something that you were but you didn't want to get married, but you wanted to be a mom. Why? Like, I know it's your opinion, but like, why did that decision come to your head? Like, oh, you would rather be a mom, you would rather have a second, you would rather give birth than like getting married. Why?
Like I said, the experiences that I used to hear, like when I was way younger, about like how marriages just fall apart or the husband does something crazy. So it takes the grace of God to actually meet somebody that is your person, that you people would live together. So is it not better to just stay on your own and like probably have children or adopt or something than to get married to somebody that would drive you crazy or make you do something stupid? So that's why I just
okay, yeah, true. But like, would you, I lost my train of thought there, but I fuck with like your opinion, but like personally I don't think I would do that, because I feel like being a mother is a different ball game for me as a person. I would rather get married, because I feel like marriage and like normal relationship are they the same? They're not the same. Please, I don't want to speak on things that I don't know. I was gonna ask you something, but I lost my train of thought. We'll get back there. But like, how do we find like a reality that suits us and suits our purpose?
Trial and error. You have to always try. That's like what I always tell myself. Like, if you don't try, how would you know? So, but then sometimes it can be really frustrating because it takes time. And you need to know what works for you and doesn't work for you. And for you to know that, you have to try.
Okay. So you believe in trying and failing.
Mm-hmm.
So are you the one that... Are you the type of person... So at what point in life do you kind of give up? Like, if you try, like, how many failures do you have to reach for you to say, oh, I beg, this thing is not for me?
I don't give up.
Ever?
I cry and get back to it, or I move to something else.
Energy up. Yes, I love it. The thing with me is, if I put my mind to something, I will get it. A very good example is a show that I wanted to be on. I used to watch the show with one of my friends, and we really liked the show, and I told my friend I'm gonna be on season 2 of the show. And when I say something, people are just like, it's Stephanie, regular Stephanie talk. Apparently, I'm on season 2. Once I put my mind to something, there are obstacles. Because I remember the girl that was handling their page. I had texted the girl. I had done everything, tried to text the producer. Everybody aired me. Only randomly, I met somebody who was friends with the owner of the show that said he really likes me and he wanted me to be on the show. That's just an example. And I believe in falling and getting back the fuck up. Do you understand? Because it helps with character development. It helps with the experiments. It helps with, you know, all the experiences that you acquire. Because I feel like for you to get somewhere, for you to be, Beyonce is going to be a very good example. Before she got to where she was, you know, there are different stages of life that she passed through. And it all makes her who she is. It all makes all these experiences that she has faced in life has made her like the Beyonce, has made her Queen Bee. It's like, how would you, and this is an advice to everybody, like, if you have an obstacle, accept it's something that your heart genuinely doesn't want to fuck with. Because, you know, there are times where you think about it, you're just like, I don't really want this thing. Maybe the reason why you wanted to get into this thing was not a genuine reason. Then you can lay back. But if you feel like you deserve something, you should go for it. But that doesn't apply to rapists. Because you tell rapists no, they say yes. Fuck people that rape. Do you have anything to say before we get off the segment?
No.
Say something. What you want? Don't say anything. Like, oh, okay. So we'll come back after the break for another segment. Is that fine?
Okay.
Okay. You're killing me. Say now, okay. Valida is a streaming service that gives users worldwide access to African live events, music, and comedy. Watch award-winning artist performances from the comfort of your home. It is very easy to gain access. Go to valida.io, create an account, buy the live stream, and watch. It can be viewed using any device with an internet connection, smartphones, tablets, computers, and laptops. Contact them via email at info@volida.io. That is info, that is info@volida, volida.io. Thank you. Welcome to segment 3. Stephanie Ighodalo. Yes, say yes.
Yes.
What's your take-home salary for this episode, for the week, for people to digest? What do you have? What's your 2 cents?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about people, like human beings that we have in this world. And I feel like in Nigeria especially, there are a lot of wicked people. And that's why this country will never move forward, because individuals are wicked. Let's forget about governments and all these things. Like, the way you treat your fellow human beings is disgusting. And I feel like more people should try to emulate being good, and they should love one another. Because if there is love, then every other thing would follow. So what do you think about it?
I feel like we're the cause of our problems in Nigeria. It's not just politics. It takes Nigeria as a whole to be better. And like, it's not about even people. When people have like the tiniest of like promotion or the tiniest of standings in society, you just see that Nigerian political traits in them, and like people are genuinely wicked. I just feel like as a person, not even as a Christian, forget religion, as a human being, we should learn to be good people. Like there's no essence of being bad in the world, and human beings are actually very wicked. Human beings
take anything from you. Like, it doesn't take anything from you. You just need to be kind or be nice to the other person. Like today in church, Reverend Father was like,
"Can you increase your volume, please, Stephanie? Please, I don't know if you're talking to your man here.
I'm
please,
preaching now." Like today in church, Reverend Father was just saying how, like, in the olden days, how people just worked together. That though you have the rich and the poor, you never really know who is rich and poor, because they always just cover their people. Like, you know that, oh, this person is in need and I can help. Why not just help? It doesn't take anything from you. Like, you still have your extra. Like, just help.
Do you think, just not to, because I don't want to do too much in this segment, do you think people are the, you think billionaires are bad people?
It depends.
So you think every billionaire in the world, in naira, dollars, yen, cedis, pounds, is a good person?
It depends on how you got to that place.
Because there's a saying that billionaires, if you're a billionaire, if you're a very rich person, you have done some bad for you to get there. Because the world doesn't give a good person that kind of money.
Well, that's something to think about. I never thought about that, but to be honest, I don't think it's that easy to just get there. There are lots of heads to be stepped on and like a lot of things, but I still feel like some people can make an honest living, but I don't know about billionaire status.
Yeah, we'll just go on a short break. I feel like that's going to be a podcast topic on its own, but I don't know who to do it with. But we'll go on a short break and we'll be back for the game. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, perfect.
You know what time is when you hear this, right?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Run up! Run up! Run up!
Game time, guys. Stephanie, do you listen to a lot of music?
Well, not really.
Okay, thank God you said not really, because like this game is about music. So in the year 2022, how many? Give me 7. Okay, Stephanie is how many letters?
9
letters. So you're going to give me 9 albums that came out in 2022.
What?
I'm going to help you, but you're going to give me.
Love Damini. That's Wizkid one. More love, baby. More love, less ego.
Please increase your volume.
More love, less ego.
Stop looking at me. I'm not happy.
Wait. Is this new one that Maven dropped? That one.
Then, Chapter X?
Yes, that's the name. Which other one did Aria drop any this year?
Chris Brown, Stephanie Chris Brown.
Chris Brown dropped album.
Isn't that your favorite artist?
You know, yeah, I don't listen to music again.
Ah.
I've actually not listened to Chris Brown this year, have I? Okay, yeah. Maybe, ooh, they...
Increase your volume, you're so low, babe.
Okay. I think that's all I have, to be honest.
Only three. River and Roses, Rema. Okay, mention an artist that you feel like dropped this year so I can give you their album name.
Oh, yeah, this boy, Asake.
She said, oh my god, you guys, we've crucified Asake today. What's his name? Mr. Money with the Vibe, Abby.
Oh, yes, Mr. Money with the Vibe. Yes, that was an album too. Yeah, Omale.
Boy Alone.
Yes, Boy Alone.
Okay.
Then,
Time is running.
Black Bones. What is that his album?
I don't even know. I don't listen to
it. No, I'm trying to remember. But yeah, Black Bones to dropped one.
I don't know that one. I don't know who he is.
Who else? I think MI. Did MI drop?
Yes, he did. I can't remember the name of the album, but he did.
My people. Jesus Christ. Show them camp.
Palm Wine Music 3, Volume 3.
Yes.
Black Panther, babes. Like, you're doing poorly.
Oh, yeah, that's an album.
Aria Star. You're doing very poorly, babes.
Wait, you said I should mention album, not names. I would have mentioned names, though.
19 and Dangerous Deluxe.
Okay, yes. It's not just one song that's there.
No, it's not just one song.
Oh, yeah. It was like a full thing.
Stephanie, you're a disappointment, boy.
True. Hey, who else dropped, though? Somebody else dropped. Wait.
You're running out of time. But you're good. We're good. I think we've mentioned up to 9. We're okay. That was good. You failed woefully, but that was good. At least you only mentioned, like, Love That Mini.
I redeemed myself.
You didn't give me names. You didn't give me the album names. You gave me the artist names.
Well, and you understood.
But so you still failed. You only got like 4.
Half mark.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the episode. Say bye to everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Would you like to share your Instagram?
No.
Bye, guys, and thank you for being here. Deep Negro Sigh. We are so sorry that we've come to the end of this amazing and entertaining episode. But the good news is, I will be here with another guest same day, same time, next week. So come back, okay? I love you so much. Bye!